Good afternoon, First Baptist Brandenburg. I pray the Lord has blessed you. You've had a great Lord's Day today. I celebrate with you as I preach this message. I've been able to talk to your new pastor coming, and I'm really excited about that for you and for him. You sound like a dynamic young man, and I'm really happy. This has been a tough week for me. I've had a lot of bad things happen in my agenda as far as loved ones and different things go on, as we all have. And so I asked the Lord to help me to preach a message today, and I'm going to be kind of selfish. I ask him to help me as much as helping you today. Sometimes the preacher gets to eat while he's cooking. So I pray today this will be encouragement to you. The title of our message today is Getting Ready for Christmas Bible Style. Getting Ready for Christmas Bible Style. You ever thought about how long it took God to get ready for Christmas? The Bible says in Matthew, it took 42 generations, about 4,000 years. And man, when his son came, man, he turned the lights on. Man, he had angels singing. He had lights everywhere. He had everybody moving. And it was phenomenal. When he thought out Christmas was a big day for Jehovah God. And it needs to be a big day for us. And so I want us to help us to get ready for it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I want to be practical with you. I know it's busy. A lot of things go on. But sometimes in the busyness, Jesus gets left out of that journey. We're all aware of that. It happens in my life, happens in your life, as we push hard to do the best we can. So I want to help us to be prepared for that, for the celebration. You know, as your preacher today, I know everybody, regular attenders, has a journey to get ready for Christmas. For all of us, prepare for Christmas. Some will make a list and start buying stuff, looking for sales, and trying to get everybody taken care of. Some of them run by the seat of their pants, wait for the last day, and hope they find a sale. You know, we all have some agenda to do. Maybe you're a Scrooge and do nothing, I don't know, but that's still an agenda. And so I just want to help you to think about, you know, in your preparation for Christmas, it's important to us. And we have a lot of Christmas traditions in my family, and I'm sure in your family. And I pray that as we look at those traditions and all that we do, I want us to help us to be ready spiritually. I just, you know this, Christmas is all about Jesus, and he is the reason for all of that, and I just want us to be ready for that. And when there's spiritual preparation in our Christmas, the Advent becomes peace and love and joy. You can't buy peace, you can't buy love, and we've been foolish to try to buy joy. You can't buy any of that. It's a gift of God. I wonder what a truckload of peace would be worth. Man, just think, somebody back up a truckload of peace and just sit there and just have all the peace in that truckload. There's not enough to carry to bring peace into my life. It takes God for love, for joy, for peace in the Advent season. And as we're prepared for that, that's the byproduct of our preparation. Spiritually, he prepares us for all the things that we need in our lives. Now, in God's children, I use this statement because it became phenomenal when I realized that what I really want for Christmas, my money can't even buy. What I want for Christmas, it's not really for sale. Now, I want to spend money. I want to give gifts. I like to see the children's joy. I like to see the joy in people's life as we receive and take and each other's gifts and all that. It's wonderful. But what we can't is buy these things. God blesses us. He guides our feet to peace. And I want you to have some peace to be a blessing in your life. In Luke chapter 1, we talk about how God begins to bring peace in our lives and what he begins to do. And I want to read in verse 79 just for a moment as I look at this as we talk about it. It says, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What a story. What a plan. So, is to give light to those who sit in darkness. Let me share this with you. When I become born again, I become the light of the world. You know, we don't hide our light under a bushel basket. You know, we don't blow it out. And so, but we become light. And when I'm spiritually born again, light becomes a part of my soul. The reason why when I walk into a bar to get one of my members out, everybody knows I don't fit in there. You know why? I'm light. I am the light of the world. And you know what light does of darkness? It attacks it. It overruns it. You cannot take away light. And so as Christians, he says that he wants to come to give light to those who sit in darkness. This Christmas, I know people who sit in darkness, and so do you. They may be immediate family, they may be co-workers, maybe neighbors, maybe friends, whoever they are, they sit in darkness. And so we want them to know that the darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet to the way of peace. So spiritual preparation is a spiritual journey. All that Christ wants to do in our life is to pour out his spirit amongst us that we can enjoy life. Let me just start with this. Be careful about money at Christmas time. I don't want you to go in debt at Christmas time. God doesn't want you to go in debt at Christmas time. Isn't that amazing? This is God's birthday and the devil can put us all in debt and we become a slave to the lender over Christmas. See how Satan has just disrupted that? Now, I just want you to know, the financial pressures in this world are phenomenal. People are not good stewards, and Christmas time is where it shows up. And it shows up because we were not paying attention to our stewardship. We are leaving Jesus and doing things that we can't afford just to try to fit in. So number one, be aware of debt. I want you to think about having a debt-free life. Man, that's so easy. I mean, not so easy, but it takes God to do it. I've enjoyed a debt-free life for many years now because what God taught me about it. It wasn't that I made a lot of money. I just learned how to be a steward of the money he gave me. And so I want you to be that. I want Christmas to be that. And so don't let money rob you this Christmas. Don't let your debt overcome you for February, March, and April. I was preaching up on time of series on the second coming. I started in January 1st on the second coming of Christ. Man, I was really getting into it. And this guy came to me after. He says, you think Jesus is really coming pretty soon? I said, man, I'm just telling you what. The more I preach about it, he's coming soon. He says, good. He said, I got so much money I spent at Christmas. I hope he comes so I don't have to pay the debt. Now, he was being honest, but don't do that. Don't do that. Be careful with your spending as we get ready for Christmas. Debt makes us slaves to the lender, and Jesus comes for peace and to set us free. And be free in the Christmas season. In the Gospel of Luke, we find a story about John the Baptist, who Jesus called the greatest prophet who was ever here. Let me read that to you. He says that John was the greatest of all. In Luke chapter 7, I want to read in verse 28. For I say unto you among those born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So he talks about how John was such an influence and how John was the way. As a matter of fact, John's going to be the one who paved the way for the birth of Christ. He's going to be the life of Christ. He's going to be the one who paves that way. And now, we talk about the miracle birth of Mary with Jesus, but there's another miracle birth with John the Baptist, Zacharias, and Elizabeth. So in Luke chapter 1, I want to begin to tell us about that miracle. Now this is God getting ready for Christmas. And man, I told you, 42 generations, 4,000 years, all that he did, he came right on time in the book of Galatians. He was right on time. And was it ever a blessing? And John was a big part of the story. And you know how John got here? The same miracle that God gave to little Mary was the same miracle that he gave to Elizabeth and Zacharias. In verse 5 of chapter 1, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias in the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Let me tell you something. That's pretty big credentials. When it's in the Bible that you walked a life of righteousness and that you were walking and you kept all those commandments, they were impeccable when it comes to their walk with Christ. They loved the Lord, man. They were devout. They worshiped God, Jehovah, in big ways. And so it was while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. It fell on the high priest, Zacharias. He went in to offer up the sins for the world. And in all this time, in the temple, high time, Zacharias had a prayer of his own. See, back in those days, if you were a godly man and your wife was barren, sometimes they felt that was a curse. They felt sometimes you had done something wrong, and why? But they were kind of past the age. They were kind of older. And all of us against them. But you know what I love about faith? They were still asking God. When the impossible becomes possible, it takes faith for that to happen. And so Elizabeth, Zacharias, they were praying for the Lord to do a work in their lives, getting ready for Christmas. So it begins with a prayer. And they were praying for God just to work a work in their lives and for them to do something special within them. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth was from a priestly lineage. And they were preparing for a blessing, both righteousness. In verse 6, and it says they were both righteous before God, walking the commandments, ordinance of the law, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were well advanced in years. So there is the scenario, and there is the problem. No child in advanced in years. Past that age, and the tragedy of all that comes place in their life. That is a tragedy. If you were a man of God and a lady of God, and you know your purpose in life wasn't to build a big house, it was to have children to tell about Jesus. As if God brought them together for that purpose, for that union, and they knew it, and they kept praying about it. How long do you pray before you quit? How long do you come against a wall that it just seems it doesn't move, and so you just take it as the way it's supposed to be and just let it be? Man, faith will move the wall. Faith in God is Christmas actions in their lives. So the tragedy, there was no child, well stricken in years. But yet, they never give up. In verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of the division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went to the temple of the Lord. They were all in there. He was praying. He was praying to God about his situation as well as the sins of the nation. You know, sometimes when we get praying about everything else, we forget to pray for ourselves. John 17, when Jesus began to teach us to pray, he prayed a lot for himself. He teaches us the importance of just talking to the Father on behalf of all of our needs. The purpose of such a blessing is so God could do something special in our lives. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Remember this, I told you last Sunday night that Christmas is fear not, because every time God appeared up to this time, he was the law keeper. When God appeared in the Old Testament, man, there was judgment. When God appeared, there was price to be paid. He was the law keeper of the day, but he sent his son to pay the price for the law that was broke. And so he could redeem us by the grace of Christ if we just put our life and faith in his son and the blood of his sacrifice. So see, whenever God came on the scene, it was a fearful event, man. There was a, he breathed down fire from heaven. Rightly so, is the law keeper. And so whenever he came, there was this kind of awesome fear to push them back for God's judgment to fall. It says, when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. You shall call his name John. How would you like to be that man inside of that altar? Praying for a miracle that was past time, never quitting, and all of a sudden God just sent an answer like that. Don't be afraid, Zacharias. God's heard your prayer. And your wife is going to conceive. And you're going to have a baby. And he even went as far as naming it for him. You're going to call him John. That's Christmas at its best. That's the best of Christmas right there. The blessings of God is so real at Christmas. It's the reason why we celebrate his Christ, his birth. Because his real life leads into us peace and joy. Can you imagine Zacharias coming out of that holy? Can you imagine when he come out of there, the look on his face? Can you imagine when he seen Elizabeth? He said, honey, don't worry about nothing. I just heard from God and we're going to have a baby. And he even named him for us. I'm going to call him John. Elizabeth says, are you sure? Are you sure that happened? You know, like Mary, when the angel came to him, Mary said, are you sure? See, it was impossible. Becomes possible because it's Christmas. And it says, and you shall have joy and gladness and may rejoice at his birth. And so all the things that was happening in his life, man, all the peer pressure, all the sin, all the problems, all of a sudden there was a conception of a birth that was coming that was going to change the world. Christmas has become so commercial. We come and the world wants us to buy everything in it. It's so commercialized. It's all about buying. Instead of the day to give up the world and worship him. Just put it aside for a day. You know, if you came to my house to have a birthday party and all you talked about everybody else except me, I'd be kind of felt left out. I'd probably have a little problem. Let me tell you something. God's a jealous God. This is his son. This is his son that came to this world to pay for my sins and your sins. And he really wants us to worship him. Number one, only him and nothing else on Christmas. Nothing else. It's Christmas. It's the birthday of the Son of God. And to get that ready, we celebrate rebirth in eternal life. You know, I sometimes forget what all that means. I did a funeral yesterday of one of my phenomenal giants in my faith who's helped me in ministry. And man, I'd get around him, he would always just kind of, I'd just hitchhike on his love and his joy. He was just a tremendous warrior of God. But when he got sick, he said, Brother Ron, don't be afraid. I've got eternal life. And when David told me that, lights come on. Boy, is he so right and I'm so wrong. He has eternal life. God paid for that. You're talking about home for Christmas. He's home for Christmas because of eternal life. So celebration. The evidence was there in so many ways that they were such a godly couple. And God had placed them in a very special time. And time is a time to focus on God. But I just pray that St. Nicholas and all of the other fanfare and all the other things that happens doesn't steal from that, but becomes a part of that. See, we can have family and give gifts and have a great meal. We don't need to sit in a corner and just be in a silence of prayer and be like a monk. We can let our light shine at Christmas. Maybe you have a lost family member. At this graveyard yesterday, I preached. This man I preached a funeral for, he has a lost son. And let me share with you what I watched in that funeral as I was preaching. His son walked out of the tent, just began to walk around the graveyard. You know what? He just could not understand light. He could not understand eternal life. He felt uncomfortable at his father's funeral because he couldn't understand it. It broke my heart. And his daddy asked me to never give up praying for him. And I won't. But it was obvious at a funeral when the lights aren't on, what do you do with it? How do you handle the death of someone that you don't believe in eternal life? How do you handle that? You don't. There is no peace. There is no joy. There is no love. There is nothing but a pile of stuff somewhere that you may obtain. So I want you to know it's eternal life. And John was going to pave the way for that light to be seen. So all the needs that God meets at Christmas time is what God wants to do, his purpose, so we can pay attention. How did John do such a job? Now, he is going to pave the way. Let me read this to you. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall not drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Now, let me share this with you. When I was born, I was in the hands of Christ. I was innocent. I was sinless. I was just a little creature. When I came to the age of accountability, when I knew right from wrong, when I knew that I needed a Savior and I understood what sin was, that was a day in my life that changed. Because then I needed to have rebirth. I need to have the Spirit of God of hope and love of Christ through salvation the cross brings to me. And so when it began to happen, the Bible says, for the Spirit of God was in him, the Holy Spirit. Now let me just share this with you. I don't want you to forget this. The same Holy Spirit to touch John's life, Elizabeth and Zachariah's life, is the same Holy Spirit to touch mine. The same Holy Spirit that impregnated Mary is the same Holy Spirit that touched my life. The Holy Spirit's God within us. Emmanuel, God with us. Sometimes we think these Bible characters, some superhuman beings that God just put on this earth, just do super things. Well, guess what? He died on a cross so you and I could be superhuman beings. So we can have the light of the world. We can have joy in a storm. We can have peace in a war. Because the Spirit of God of Elijah. Now, so he said he should be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither drink strong drink, Holy Spirit, even his mother's womb. And he shall turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he shall go with him in the spirit of the power of Elijah. Now that, if you don't know anything about Elijah, that didn't mean nothing to you, but I know something about Elijah. When I read that, he's going to have that kind of spirit. That Elijah guy raised the dead. That Elijah God did some big stuff. And the Bible says John had the same power as Elijah. I got that power. You got that power. But it's powerless until you understand the power of Christ and what it means to be born again. He says, you have the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the just and to make ready people prepared for the Lord. To make them ready. To pave the way. Let me just take you back and read a little bit about Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17, I've read this many times today. I just turned to it and just read and just said, wow, what a story, how it works. In verse 17, now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and that sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Her son died. They were going through a trouble, the miracle of food, how he provided food for them when the cupboards were bare and their things were drought, how God prepared for them. But then there was another storm. Her son died. In the midst of that, I don't think there could be anything more gut-wrenching and painful to hold the body of a dead child. But Elijah was on the scene. Let me read it with you. And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have thou also brought tragedy on the widow whom I've lodged by killing her son? And he stretched himself out of the child three times. On the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray this child's soul come back to him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. He hears my voice. And you know when he hears my voice, you know what it means to him? That's Ron Davis's voice. And he heard Elijah's voice. When you pray to God, he knows your voice. Amen? He prayed in the name of Elijah. He heard the voice of Elijah. The soul of the child came back to him and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of God in your mouth is the truth. Now, when God got ready for old John, he had the same spirit that Elijah had. He could turn it around. It was the Spirit of God that raised and seen the power of God in their lives. Let me just ask you a personal question. Has your family ever seen the Spirit of God in your life? Have they ever heard you pray when God just filled the room? Let me tell you something. I have probably, I think personally, the most godly mother in the world, personally for me. I would take my mother to every prayer meeting I ever had, prayer cells I went. When my mother prayed, she filled the room up. When my mother prayed, I believe God knew it was Lorraine Davis praying. Her faith was so real. I just love to hear my mother pray. And when she mentioned my name in that prayer, man, it meant a lot to me. Because I knew my mother was the real deal. And mentioning my name to God brought credence to who I am and what I am today. Because that's what Christmas is all about. That's what it's all about. Miracle after miracle. See, the reason for the season is to bring glory to God in the highest, with peace and love and joy on earth, and goodwill towards men. There's power in prayer. When the power of God falls on a man, it can cause many hearts to change. Turn our Father's hearts back to the children. I had a long talk with my son just the other day about our lives together, raising him in a preacher's home. He's telling me, he said, Dad, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Everybody knows you, and everybody figured out who I was. It wasn't easy. He said, but Dad, I'm glad I got to do that. It's made a difference in my life. And when my son said that to me, he could have given me $1 million. But he said, you made a difference in my life. Every one of us needs to be making a difference in somebody's life. I just told you about my mother. There's been many people in my life who made a difference in my life when they prayed and mentioned my name, what it meant to me and what it meant to God and what it meant to you. Prayer is when all this took place. God was getting ready for Christmas, and he had to have John here to get ready for the Savior. And John's here by a man and a woman of God that wouldn't quit praying when he went past the age of conception. And boom. This is kind of a weird story. Mary was 16, too young to have a baby and had one. And Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were too old to have a baby and had one, so we could have Jesus. Now think about that. See, God really works not in our ways, but he's working all the time for us so we can find his ways in our lives to make a ready of people prepared for the Lord. Church, it's our job. It's my responsibility as a pastor preaching, as a preacher preaching to you today to help you to get ready. I'm not asking you to walk on water. I'm not asking you to expect a big bright light from heaven tonight. But I'm expecting you to reverence God, pray to God, love God, and turn the hearts of your children back to God. Your children. Your children. It's our responsibility to get them right where they need to be. Church, that's our responsibility. This Christmas time, we're going to have Christmas singing. We're going to have Christmas preaching. We're going to do some play. We're going to do the best we can with this COVID thing going on. We're going to be the best we can to turn our hearts back to God. And God started out with John the Baptist to pave the way, to make ready a people preferred for God. The Christmas season's here. I pray, number one, let's go over this. Number one, let's be committed to prayer like Zacharias and Elizabeth were. Committed to it. What problems in your family? What problems in your personal life? What problems in your community, in your church, in your nation? Why don't we commit that to pray? I want you to pray daily, more so than ever, this Christmas as we celebrate his birth. Number two, Father, fill me with your power. Fill me with your power. Trust me with it, God. Just fill me with it. Let me touch somebody's name, somebody's heart with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, give us a spirit that saved us to turn on our light, to reveal you, not us, through us. God, give us the power of your Holy Spirit. Then, daddies, why don't we pray that we can be a godly father? If you've worked 80 hours and 60 hours every week so you can have a Christmas, shame on us. You need a godly father who can be a good steward of time as well as money. and spend time with your children. If there's anything I could do as a parent, anything I could redo, I would redo time with my children. I would. It wasn't the best. Jason is telling me, he said, Dad, the reason why sometimes I have time, we never went in town unless we stopped at a hospital somewhere. We never went anywhere. So you had seats. And I wish I'd have made it just about Jason that day. And not about our ministry, but just about Jason. I wish I'd have spent more time with that. I do. And I'm preaching today. Fathers, turn the hearts of your children back to God. That's what Christmas is all about. And he's getting John the Baptist ready to bring Jesus in the scene to heal a world and change a life. And may it be your life. May it be your family. May it be your blessing as I stand in the need of blessings today. My God will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. May the hearts of his people be real. And may Christmas bring us closer and stronger and brighter into a dark world of loneliness and hurt. I've enjoyed preaching this message today to you. It's helped me. I pray it's been a minister to you. Let me give you a moment to think about it. You just think about it right now. Will you commit to more prayer? Will you commit to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, your old flesh, you know, Christmas time is all about flesh. So walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill that. You can do both, but walk in the Spirit. Turn the hearts of your people back to God. That'll be a good Christmas for us. That'll be a great time in our church for us. That's getting ready for Christmas, Bible style. It is different, and may it be our way. Let me pray for you. Father, help us to see all that you went into Christmas. See how you prepared for us. See how you worked these miracles after miracles. And so, Father, we can be part of your journey. We can be part of the solution in our own families, our communities and churches in the kingdom of God. And Father, may this be Christmas so much peace, so much love, so much joy, that we'll say, thank you, Jesus, for this Christmas. It was truly your day for me. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.